But as I was thinking about this on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Love, the first thing that came to mind was what turned into the sermon title, The Look of Love. And for any of you who remember the early 1980s, I'm sorry if I just put the pop song The Look of Love by ABC in your mind. We'll probably drive it out with the next hymn we sing, because that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's not a terrible pop song, but it's not a very good one either. But as I was thinking about this time of year, the texts that are read for us today on this Christmas Eve, what came back to me more than anything else was that this, in a very real sense for me as I was growing up and even now, is what love looks like. There are lots of things that we could sort of put into this whole idea of the look of love and all of that. And so many of them revolve around being with people. And so many of them begin with the beginning. I've been able, it doesn't always work out, of course, but I've been able to be there when all of my children were born. And I now have sort of the both end of having them born in groups and having them be born one at a time. And I don't know what I looked like, but I know what Heather looked like. And yeah, she'd just gone through a lot of work, like our doctor looked over at us when sort of we were waiting for sort of the next step, and he said, this is why they call it labor. It is a lot of work, which it was. And so Heather looked really tired and all that, but the look on her face was indescribable. And it was the look of love at this, first these babies, and then with Neela, with this baby. And I think of this time of year, and I often think that Mary and Joseph had this baby in really an appalling circumstance. We don't know everything about it, except we know that it wasn't anywhere where anybody would want to have a baby at that time or any time. And I'm sure it was a lot of work, because having babies is a lot of work for women. It always has been. But I'm pretty sure that she also had that look of love on her face when she saw Jesus for the first time, because there's something that happens there. And there's this new human arrives, and it's extraordinary, and it's extraordinary for us, the men who are there, but it seems to be even more so for women. And the look on a new mother's face, and it doesn't fade away very quickly, because I saw it in my kids when they started having babies of their own, and I could see it there also for days afterwards. It's like it suddenly strikes them, wait a second, this baby is mine. And there's that look on their face. It's just, there's no other way to describe it. Is that this is the look of love. And then it sort of goes beyond that. And I think of times that I've been together around this time of year at church meetings and church services and all kinds of other get-togethers where we sing and we talk about Christmas and what it means. And it's a stressful time for most people, at least in this culture. You feel this obligation to not just get gifts, but to get the right gift. And you feel this obligation to make sure that you don't miss anyone. You feel this obligation to be delighted with whatever people give you, whether you want it or not, or understand what it is or not. All of these things. And you wonder if you're going to spend too much money or not enough, if you're going to be able to find all these things. It's a big, stressful time. And so frequently there are more arguments, and there's more this and that. And if you drive around a mall's parking lot, you tend to see people who are perhaps a little redder in the face than they would be ordinarily. But when we get together into times like this, where we talk about Jesus coming to this earth to be like us, to demonstrate things that couldn't be demonstrated any other way, we tend to get along pretty well here. I've been in churches that were in crisis and in their own stress, having difficulties over buildings and over directions they should go, and lots of conflict in committee meetings and board meetings and all of that. Christmas Eve services, you never see that ever. There's something that happens at this time of year, particularly to those of us who have this connection with God through Jesus. It just makes it easier for us to overlook those things in other people that at other times of the year might drive us crazy. And when we get together at times like this, it's a wonderful time. All through Advent, and even into the next couple of weeks, or in this liturgical year, the next week of Christmas, there's a different feeling. And the feeling isn't consumerism. The feeling isn't relief that you get a couple of days off work, although that's often nice. It's that we're reminded that there's more to life than the worry of things. There's more to life than being concerned that we'll get the right gift. That for most of us, we have people that love us, people whom we love. And so when I think of what love looks like, it's not just what Heather looked like when she held our kids for the first time. It's also what I see in church services, where people get along and they remember their own experiences and they remember their own Christmases, and all of these things roll together. And people kind of soften in a way. And it isn't just in church services, it's at this time of the year, where suddenly people who it would never cross their mind to give money to somebody that they aren't related to find themselves giving money to food banks, putting it in the Salvation Army kettles, or whatever they're calling them these days, who reach out to the people they work with little thoughtful things. And I've had people tell me that, well, that's just a cultural construction. I said, yeah, so? It's a cultural construction that God constructed for us. We seem to be more aware of what love means at this time of year, whatever our background, than at any other time of the year. And it's because this time of the year demonstrates the supreme example of love. In our Old Testament lesson, we read about how David wanted to build a house for God and all that. God said, look, have I ever told you I need a house? He said, but the day is coming when things are going to change forever. And my demonstration of love is going to be something that will be inescapable and just almost unbelievable. And I'm sure lots of people even then thought it was going to be that geopolitical leader that they all wanted, because people were still looking for that when Jesus actually came. An emperor only better. And what we got was God telling us, I have always loved you. I created you with love. I created you so you would know I love you and so you could love me back, but you haven't seemed to figure it out yet. So I'm going to demonstrate this in a way that nothing else could, and I'm going to send my son. I am going to come with you and live through all that you do. Not because there's any lack in me, because it wasn't that God needed to figure something out and that's the only way he could, but because he loved us and wanted us to know it. The look of love is God saying, I will become a human being so you will know that I understand you. God became human so that we would know that when God says, I am willing to forgive anything, it's because God lived through that as Jesus. Not in the exact details, but in the broad strokes, Jesus experienced everything every human being can. From the joys of friendship and the love of a family, as far as we know, and all of those things, to the unspeakable cruelty that human beings frequently inflict on each other. And through all of it said, I still love you. When we pray, when we meditate, when we reflect on who God is, we're not telling God things that he can't understand. God could always understand these things, but now we know. We know that God knows because God went through them. I've said often, Jesus was never stuck in traffic and angry and frustrated because he was stuck in traffic. But he was stuck somewhere, whether it was behind a slow donkey or waiting for a someone to help him do something, and he got frustrated because he was human in every way. The details of the things that we've gone through are different than what Jesus did or anyone did a couple of thousand years ago. But the similarities are, well, they're identical. The look of love, as much as anything, from an eternal and divine perspective, is that manger, is that scene that we put together in creches with of almost unlimited creativity. I saw a dramatic and lovely creche made out of Lego. Because the message of what it says transcends the medium, as all great art subjects do. And that's what love looks like. And that's what we celebrate today, particularly on Christmas Eve and next Sunday, when we sort of turn next Sunday into Christmas Day for the purposes of readings and things. That's what we're at. And that's what we're after. Is that God said, I love you so much that I want to make it unmistakable how much I love you. I'm not just going to tell you how much I love you. I'm going to come and live among you. And at this time of year, when we are more inclined to be loving to the people around us, it's not because of gifts and things, although that's part of it, and they're nice and all of that. But it's because we're stepping into the mystery of the incarnation. We'll never understand everything about it. We'll never understand how Jesus could be fully human and fully God at the same time. And that's okay, because we don't have to understand that. We understand that it happened, and that Jesus came and experienced all the things we experienced, so we would know that he knows us from the inside out. And then when Jesus says he loves us, he learned it the same way we did, because his mother loved him before he could do a thing for her. God loved us before we could do a thing. God loved us when we were the equivalent of a brand new born crying baby. Not because we were pretty, because, oh sure, our newborn babies are beautiful, but they're not pretty. There's a difference. Well, some of them were, I suppose. Mine looked like newborn babies, and I wouldn't change a thing. God loved us then. It's not what we do for him. It's that God loved us, and through that love, now we do for him. So on this Christmas Eve, as you do whatever your traditions are, or whether you're forming new traditions or you're trying out new things, enjoy them, because they're another wonderful opportunity for us to be with the people we love, to reflect on the things that we love. Doesn't mean the world's perfect. Christmas Eve 1986 wasn't in my house because my house had caught fire 4 days before. Still pretty memorable. Still good things. This Christmas Eve, remember that it was a God who loved you, who came to be like us so that we would know that he loves us more than anything else. Amen.